to be righteous is to be theologically in a right relationship with God. And that's what the world gags on.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Every Christian must purpose, and I believe this is the thesis of this beatitude, every Christian must purpose to be loyal to Jesus Christ and His principles, no matter the cost. If we say we're willing to endure persecution and animosity and hostility and hardship for the cause of Jesus Christ, what we're really saying is this: I am going to be loyal to Jesus Christ and His principles, no matter the cost. And if you have that spirit and you develop that kind of character, you are going to be a powerful individual in the world in which you live. You are going to be a dynamic Christian, which makes a lasting and eternal impact on the world in which you live. And the sad fact of the matter is, there are not many modern Christians or many modern churches that are willing to have that kind of loyalty. We need it. You and I need it. Every Christian must purpose to be loyal to Jesus Christ and His principles, no matter the cost. We are convinced these are the greatest principles in all the world. There is no greater, more significant personality than the Son of God in all the universe. He has so enriched my life. He has brought such blessing into my experience. I'm willing to die for this Christ. That's the spirit of this beatitude. That's what it's really saying to us. Now, as we look at that theme, I want you to notice with me two significant facets of Jesus' instruction on this subject in this beatitude. We'll only look at one of them. Two significant facets of Jesus' teaching on this subject as I see it in this beatitude. I want you to see just two simple things, but they're profound in their implications. One, I want you to see the reasons for persecution. And Jesus will announce to us that there are two legitimate reasons for persecution. And then the response to persecution, He states it very clearly: rejoice and be exceeding glad. Sounds almost preposterous. Rejoice and be exceeding glad in verse 12. Now first, let's look at the reasons for persecution, negatively and positively, if we may. Negatively, where this beatitude does not apply. And then positively, where it does apply. Negatively first, where it does not apply. I think, first of all, that we must be careful to distinguish between punishment and persecution. Do you know the distinction between those terms? We are punished by good men for doing evil. We are persecuted by evil men for doing good. And sometimes what we think is persecution is really punishment for our own foolishness. This beatitude does not say, for example, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are objectionable. This beatitude, let's go a step further, does not even mean blessed are they that are persecuted for a cause. Some of us are on certain types of rabbit trails, a certain cause we're interested in. Some of them may be legitimate. You know, there are many good causes about today. But these good and these just causes are not precisely the Christian cause. And the evidence of it is that many non-Christians are involved in the same cause. We are not called, for example, to transform government. Paul said, this one thing I do. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the servants of the Lord are to do. We're not called to transform government. We should appeal to government when there are excesses and abuses. We should appeal to God. We should cry out to God to change our government and its views. But our primary calling is not to change government. You know what we're called to do? Some of these mundane things like this. You know what we're called to? We're called to be holy. And the more we cultivate holiness, biblical holiness among God's people, the greater will be our impact for Jesus Christ, the more stinging the effect of the salt in the secular society all around us. We're called to be holy. You know what we're called to do? Here's an old-fashioned, unpopular, unwelcome discipline. We're called to pray. We're called to be holy. We're called to pray. You know what we're called to? We're called to biblical evangelism. Biblical evangelism. That's the calling of the Christian. These are the things that are distinctively the Christian cause, and only Christians can engage in them and make their impact for Christ through them. And if we're off chasing other causes, who will fulfill these distinctively Christian causes? These other causes are good. And I'm not saying that Christians individually, under certain circumstances, should not be involved. But these other things should never be our primary cause. And let me say this, when we suffer for these other causes, the promise of this beatitude does not apply, because we're not suffering for righteousness' sake. Let me give you one final negative. This beatitude does not even mean, blessed are they that are persecuted for being good. You see, there's a very subtle difference between being righteous down on the inside and doing good works up on the outside. And that's a very biblical distinction. This beatitude does not even mean, blessed are they that are persecuted for being good or noble or self-sacrificing, for the very simple reason that you will probably not be persecuted for being or doing these things. The world, as a matter of fact, generally praises and admires and loves and honors the good and the noble. Do you know who it persecutes? The righteous. You see, there's something very unique about being righteous. It's a very precise biblical designation. To be righteous, you know what it means? To be righteous is to be theologically in a right relationship with God. And that's what the world gags on. That is what the world cannot stand, because the world is caught up in a revolution against God. That's the very essence of sin, to be in a state of revolution against God. And when you say, I'm righteous, you're saying something very deeply theological. You are saying, I have brought myself into a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that is the one thing the world cannot stand. It's a very precise biblical designation to be righteous. The world does not persecute the good and the noble and the self-sacrificing. It persecutes the righteous. Whenever you're brought into a right relationship with God, you are immediately out of sync with the world. And you can expect to feel the repercussions of that. The world is saying, these are the statements of the proud humanists in the Humanist Manifesto. The world is saying, we find insufficient evidence for the existence of the supernatural. They must be wearing blinders. No, God will save us. We must save ourselves. And when you say, I have been brought into a right relationship with God, that's what it means theologically to be righteous. You can expect persecution. When the world system, controlled as it is by selfishness and sin and Satan, listen now, when the world system admires and promotes and honors as a hero a certain individual, we should suspect immediately that what that individual is engaged in is not true righteousness. If it were, the world would not be honoring him. Universal popularity was as much the lot of the false prophets as universal persecution was of the true prophets. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Luke 6 and verse 26. I want to tell you something. None of the true prophets of God will ever be voted to a place among America's 10 most popular men. And I always get a little bit nervous when I see two or three world-famous evangelists showing up on lists of America's 10 most popular men. And I wonder how a man can be loyal to Jesus Christ and be admired by the same world system that crucified Jesus Christ. These are the things that this beatitude does not mean. Now, what does it mean? Let's talk for a moment about what it does mean. Where does this beatitude apply? Jesus reveals, and it's right here in this passage, Jesus reveals two basic reasons for suffering. I'll give them to you, and then we'll look at the first one. He says, there are two basic reasons for suffering, and when you suffer for one of these two reasons or for both of them, then the blessing of this beatitude applies to you. Oh, the bliss, oh, the blessedness of the man, of the woman that has the kind of character that induces this kind of response to their way of living. He says, here are the two reasons for suffering. One, loyalty to a set of principles for righteousness' sake. Verse 10. And then two, here's the second. Loyalty to a special person for my sake. Verse 11. And those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the two legitimate bases for enduring persecution and experiencing suffering. And on either one of those bases, we can claim the promise and the blessing of this beatitude. Loyalty to a special set of principles, righteousness' sake, and loyalty to a very special person, Jesus Christ, for my sake. Now, when I see that first one, loyalty to a set of principles, for righteousness' sake, there are three concepts that come to my mind. I've got to give them to you quickly. Three concepts that come to my mind. One, the meaning of righteousness. Two, the message of righteousness, which is the gospel. And loyalty to that gospel will bring persecution. And three, the manifestation of righteousness. How do I allow it to exude from me? How do I reveal it practically in my life? We'll see that it's embracing the principles of Scripture, and in particular, those principles revealed in the Beatitudes. The meaning of righteousness, the message of righteousness, the manifestation of righteousness. What is the meaning of righteousness? Without becoming excessively technical, let me say that one of the basic meanings of the word righteousness, as it appears here, one of the basic meanings of the word righteousness is to divide or to be different. It describes a specially marked out way which is different from the ways of the world. That's why Jesus could say, if you were of the world, Christian, if you were of the world, that is, like the world would love his own. The world would love you and warmly embrace you. But because you are not of the world, that is, you are different. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is, I have chosen you out of its mold, out of its pattern of living. Therefore, the world hateth you. John 15, verse 19. And no wonder it hated Jesus first. And the servant is not greater than his master. In the New Testament era, and there ought to be in this church, and in your life, and mine, and in our families. In the New Testament era, there was the simple but basic fact that the Christians were different. And men always regard with suspicion that which is different. As far as the public is concerned, conformity is the way to a trouble-free life. And the Christians were inevitably, and in the minds of the world, notoriously different. They were nonconformists. It didn't mean that they were rebels. It meant they were like their Savior. And that meant they were different. And the world could not swallow them.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
They were the salt of the earth, and they were salt which had not lost its savor. When they were rubbed into the secular society around them, they had a stinging effect.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.